Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
You should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You may be seated. When I talk about weaponizing our worship, when I talk about weapons of mass construction, building our lives, you have to put your attention on the verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That doesn't say that you can't use the carnal weapons of this world. Sometimes we do. What are the carnal weapons? But when you talk about the extreme, they're guns and knives. Peter used a sword to cut off Malchus's ear. Jesus had to put it back on. That was not the time, the place, nor the weapon. Not only are there guns and knives, but there are also courts and lawyers. This church has been here 48 years, and we've never been involved in a lawsuit. That can't be said about many of the mega churches in San Antonio. I'm familiar with the churches and their lawsuits, and it is not to condemn them, but we have been blessed. And many of the greatest blessings of this church have come from former adversaries, people that were opposed to this church. And we just prayed, rather than suing, rather than get in their face, just prayed and saw God bring them around. People that threatened us physically turned around and gave us checks in excess of $10,000 and $20,000 for this church. What I'm telling you are that the weapons, the carnal weapons, are available to every human being, but spiritual weaponry is so much more effectual. If you can pray and let the Lord fight your battle, your life is so much easier. So I talked about the three darts of the devil, and I've been trying to finish on this last one. I talked about the spirit of coveting. Coveting, you want your life to be like somebody else. That's the reason why social media, television is so corruptive. Is we see things on TV that are not, they're not real. They're not correct. But if you're on television, you automatically have, with certain groups of people, you have a certain amount of credibility. People look at television and say, that's the way I want my life to be. I remember seeing Arsenio Hall interview back when they had the terrible riots in East L.A. many years ago. I saw him interview one of the rioters on his show. And he asked, he said, why were you burning and looting and violent? He said, because I see on television what other people have and I want it. But what you see on television is not true. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but what you see on social media is not true. People tell an awful lot of lies on social media. They're not married to the handsomest man in the world. I saw his picture. They're not married to the most beautiful woman in the world, I saw her picture. They don't have the best husband, the best wife, the best marriage, the most beautiful home. And what is it about people? I've got a friend from Indiana that he puts every meal he eats on Facebook. I know everything he eats. Why do you do that? I don't want you to know. I've never put a picture of a Twinkie on Facebook. I don't want you to know what I'm eating. But what people put on Facebook is not reality. But it serves the devil's purpose of making you discontented with your life. The Bible said in whatever state you're in, be content, be thankful, and realize that you are unique, that God's created you in His image. You're a special person in a special dispensation, and God's got a special plan for your life. And the only role you have in life is finding the plan of God. When you find the plan of God for your life, you will be happy beyond unbelievably happy, beyond comprehension. You will be happy. Now, this is the will of God. And so I talked about coveting. I talked about fear. But now I'm talking about depression. You know, they say that 1 in 40 Americans suffer from bipolar condition. Disorder. I think it might be higher than that. But if it's just 1 in 40, think how many people in this building have bipolar. You know, when you preach as much as I do, you say stupid things. And you depend on people to give you a pass. Like one time I suggested that we have capital punishment for drunk drivers. That was on a Sunday morning in the old building. The reason I did that, I was upset because the drunk driver had run over an 8-year-old girl and killed her. And I just was really emotional about that. But that's not a good idea. It was a stupid idea. One Sunday I was preaching in this building, and I was just being cute. And I said, alcoholics, is that what we used to call drunks? I went down a whole list that I thought was funny. And then I said this, bipolar, is that what we used to call crazy? And I was inundated with people sitting in this building that were emotionally distraught by me making that, because they had been diagnosed as being bipolar. And they said, Pastor, do you think I'm crazy? And I didn't. It was a stupid statement. The truth is, bipolar disorder is nothing but depression on steroids. It's major depression. And it's crippling. And I believe that it is one of the most fiery darts of the devil. I believe the devil starts with depression and carries it along as much as he can. And if we will allow him, it will develop into bipolar disorder. And that's a terrible, terrible thing to have. And there are a number of reasons for being bipolar and having bipolar disorder. Sometimes it's a physical thing, just a chemical imbalance. And you can go to a doctor, and a doctor can diagnose you and medicate you, and you will be healed through medicine. Friend, don't ever let the devil tell you that medicine and divine healing are enemies. They are on the same level. Oral Roberts was criticized greatly because he was a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal as he started, and he started the great ORU. And when you see the two hands there on the campus, they represent medicine. He was criticized by everybody for that, but he shouldn't have been, because God has given tremendous knowledge in the medical field to doctors and health care givers. It's simply amazing. It's supernatural what they know and what they can do today. And it's perfectly in order to take advantage of that, to be healthy. Because if you're not healthy, you can't be the best spouse. You can't be the best Christian. You can't be the greatest witness. So you ought to strive to be as healthy as you possibly can. And so if you have bipolar disorder, it's all right to question and see if it's a chemical imbalance. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it is literally an attack of the devil. It is a fiery dart. It's a sword. It's a javelin of the devil. He wants to make you miserable. But remember, we have weapons, and our weapons are not guns and knives and education and intellect and money and lawyers and courts. We have spiritual weapons. And what are spiritual weapons? The cross is a spiritual weapon. The blood of Jesus Christ is a spiritual weapon. The Word of God is a spiritual weapon. Worship is a spiritual weapon. The name of Jesus is a spiritual weapon. But we have difficulty. We have difficulty in using these spiritual weapons. Number one, if you've got friends and family that are not spiritual, they are going to hold you in disdain if you use spiritual, but they're going to mock you. Not only that, even your own flesh. You know, that's something I wrestled with as a young preacher in my teens. When I found out that the Bible said that our flesh has enmity with the Spirit, I wrestled with that. I thought my flesh was my friend all that time. But when I found out my flesh is an enemy against the Spirit that I am, I really struggled to accept that, but it's true. And your flesh will war against you using spiritual weapons. It'll want you to use physical weapons. Because the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians that God takes the foolish things. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. If you're going through, it doesn't have to be bipolar disorder. It can be cancer, blood pressure. It can be 1,000 different things. But you're going through that, and you haven't been able to get an immediate remedy through medical science. And you say, I'm just going to take this in spiritual condition, and I'm going to war in the spirit on this. Your flesh will actually make fun of you. Sarah's own flesh laughed about the possibility of her conception when she was well into her 70s, 80s, 90s. Her flesh laughed. Your own flesh will oppose you. That's what it means to be spiritual. Did anybody ever fast? Anybody in this building ever fast? When you fast, you know what that's for? So, it's to affect God. No, it doesn't affect God at all. The only reason why you fast is to subdue your flesh. The number one thing your flesh wants to do is eat enchiladas. I can promise you that. I could go for one right now. Your flesh has an appetite. And unbridled appetites are a great source of physical malady. But spiritually, unbridled appetites are what killed Esau and destroyed Esau and cost him the birthright. And so your flesh has to be subdued. And when you get ready to go into spiritual warfare, your number one enemy will not be the devil. He'll be number two. Your number one enemy in spiritual warfare is your own flesh. And so that just doesn't make sense. Because all of us in this building have some form of education. We've gone to high school. Some of us got degrees or whatever. And so you've educated your flesh. There's a reason why Jesus said, except you become as a little child. You have to divorce yourself from all of the physical weapons and carnal weapons and say, now I'm going to use a spiritual weapon. And it's called the foolishness of God and the weakness of God. And it will confound the wisdom of man, the Bible said. And so when you're in that situation and you realize that everything's been done physically that can be done, I'm not sure we should do it, but generally we try the doctor before we try Jesus. I'm not sure that's the right order. We probably ought to seek God first. I try to do that. When I've got a pain, I've got a problem, I try to pray for myself just like I'd pray for you. Have you ever anointed yourself with oil? Oh, that's foolish. You're exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. Anointing yourself with oil is foolishness unto your flesh. But God said, I'll take the foolish things and confound the wise. And there is nothing more foolish than worship. That's the reason why people that call themselves Christians come into a spirit-filled church or see what we saw on the campus in Kentucky a few weeks ago. They look at that, they call themselves Christian, but they dismiss that as foolish because it's worship. Worship is foolish to the flesh of man. You remember when David brought the ark back, what did he do? He worshiped the Lord. He danced before the Lord until his kingly garments fell off. He was married. Saul was his father-in-law. His wife was the daughter of Saul. She had the spirit of her daddy. She looked out of her window and saw him dancing before the Lord. And the Bible said she despised him. And then the Bible said that because she despised his worship, her womb was shut up, and she never had any children again. That's the reason why people don't get saved in most churches, is because they despise worship. Friend, I'm telling you that spiritual warfare is foolishness to the flesh, but it is the most powerful thing on this earth. Look what it says. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they cast down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Worship is obedient. The Bible commands us to worship the Lord in all situations, in the sanctuary, in the firm of His power, and all things in between. We're commanded to worship the Lord. It casts down your imaginations. I don't think we understand how powerful the human mind is. But when you get saved, one of the things that you have access to, you talk about a tool, you have access to the mind of Christ. You no longer think like Warren thinks. You think like Jesus thinks. Jesus was never stymied in any situation. Every situation he faced, he had the answer. And the Bible said when you get born again, you now have access to the mind of Christ. What can that do? He said, cast down imaginations. Somebody said, well, I have bad thoughts. Everybody has bad thoughts. It's an old cliche. It says about thoughts. It said you can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your head. And you will have those thoughts, but you cast them down. You replace them with the thoughts of Christ. And I think that that's not only a spiritual thing, talking about lust and all kinds of things, but I believe it also talks about your healing. I believe your healing starts in the mind. As a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think yourself healthy. I am healthy. But we tend to think about our genes and what is hereditary. Well, my mother had a heart condition. My daddy had a heart condition. Well, my daddy didn't have any hair either. God gave me hair, and my daddy didn't have any. So I guess if he had a physical ailment, I don't have to have that same one. I can begin to take my mind like a tool, like a weapon, and say, I am going to be healed. Friend, it's not that I have not been attacked. I have been attacked sorely in my life dozens of times with major problems. But I've been able to overcome every one of them because I take the weapon of the Lord. And so when you feel like the devil is going to do you in and the best is past, that is a depression. And man has a cure for depression. But God's cure for depression and bipolar disorder is even greater than what man can do. The Bible teaches us that spiritual attack will be met with resistance if we'll trust in the Lord. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and the glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Have you ever been attacked physically with depression or disease and said, this is literally the enemy coming in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord that lives in me is going to raise a standard against him? I have so much respect for doctors, so much respect for the time that they have put in to become educated as they are, and so much sacrifice they do to treat patients. One of my doctors told me, he said, I never take a lunch. He said, if I took a lunch, that's two patients I couldn't see. He said, I can see at least two patients in my lunch hour, so I never take a lunch. They make great sacrifices, some of them, and I'm thankful for that. But it's always, as much as I respect them, it's always my delight for them to change their prognosis and their telling me what's wrong with me. And they'll say, well, I thought so and so, but I don't know. I've made a mistake, and I always like to help them because I don't want them to question their ability or their expertise. Say, no, doctor, you were exactly right, but God reversed that. And there's nothing like giving a doctor a way out. Saying, you were exactly right. I did have cancer, but I prayed, and people prayed for me, and that turned around, and I praised the Lord, and that is a spiritual weapon. And that thing that was foreign to my flesh, was commanded to go, and I command, the way I always pray is, I command my flesh to line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is greater than my flesh. I command you to line up with the Word of God. And so don't let the devil depress you. I told you in an earlier session, Elijah was the first bipolar person I recognized in the Bible. He was so powerful that he caused it to rain and stopped the drought, rejoiced about that. And a couple of chapters later, he's sitting under a juniper tree asking God to let him die, fleeing from Jezebel. He went from the highest of heights, and he went from to the lowest of lows. That's a very strong tendency toward bipolarism. And not only that, I'll tell you the number one trait that I've dealt with people that are bipolar is they feel all alone. They feel all alone. Nobody cares. That's what depression starts in. Nobody cares. Elijah said to God, I am the only prophet left. He had the symptom. I'm the only one. And God said later to him, yeah, I've got about 7,000 more just like you. You're not about alone. You're not the only one standing for God. You're not the only one that loves God. You're not the only one that's under attack. We're all in this together. This makes a great, great case for coming to church rather than watching us online. Did you understand that so many of the blessings of God are in a verse that says, and when they came together, when they came together, there is a miracle in coming together. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you the first step to have victory and spiritual dominion over depression and bipolar disorder is to get out of the house, come to the house of God, set up as close as you can, worship as loud as you can, hug as many people as you can. You say, well, does that matter? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that our weapons are not carnal, but they are foolish. And so when I'm going through whatever I'm going through, if I can just lift my hands and begin to shout, begin to sing, begin to dance, begin to speak in tongues. Friend, you don't know what that does to the demon of depression, but it will be the beginning of your deliverance. And there are people in this building right now that you live a depressed life, and that is an exact target of the devil. That's his goal for you, is to keep you depressed. You need to stand up and say, look what the Lord has done in my life. Look how the Lord has brought me and how far he's brought me.